Welcome to For Good Measure, an interview series celebrating diverse composers and other creative artists, sponsored by a grant from the California Arts Council. I'm Nanette McGinnis, Artistic Executive Director of Ensemble for These Times. Today we're joined by E4TT Assistant Director, Co-Curator, and Composer, who designed the wonderful For Good Measure cover art, Brennan Stokes. Thanks for joining us for this, Brennan. I'm really glad we're doing this in-house, entre nous interview. You're a composer, a pianist, and a tenor. What was your path to becoming these? Did you know what you wanted to do from early on?
Yeah, I think the journey to these three was definitely kind of an order of pianist, tenor to composer. I started piano lessons when I was in kindergarten around age six. And from what I think I remember my parents telling me was that it was kind of it was left up to me. There was a new music teacher at the elementary school who was offering piano lessons, and they asked me if I wanted to try it out. And I said, sure, that sounds like fun. And there was kind of I always kind of tell people it was almost like the piano and me kind of mutually found each other, where I would go into my lessons and it just came very naturally to me. And I would go in week after week and I would, you know, I would practice a little bit in the week and I would go into my lessons, play the songs, move on to get new songs. And it was kind of a fun hobby where it never felt like work. There was always a bit of a natural understanding with my hands on the keys, and reading the notes and the music was always very fluid and very easy for me as a kid and throughout my musical journey with the piano. Both of my parents were in church choir, so listening to vocal music and hearing them sing growing up was always also something very second nature. And I was in school and church choirs as well. And it wasn't until undergrad where I had to declare a secondary instrument alongside piano as my primary. And I figured it would be a good time to see about developing my voice. And I started a couple of years of voice lessons. And it was fun and interesting to start to get the grasp of Italian, German, French, art song. And it was fun to also begin to develop a kind of almost like a new, more official musical skill with those two. And it wasn't until my junior year of undergrad where I had to do 1 year of composition classes and for upper division music theories. And I remember going into that year thinking that, I just have to get through it. I'm a pianist. First and foremost, you know, I'm just the person who plays the notes, who, you know, I'll analyze the score. I can learn the notes and I have my interpretation, but like, I'm not going to be the person to ever write the music. And just thinking, you know, this is not at all going to be something that I am going to be good at. I just have to kind of, you know, check the box on this requirement and move on to other things. And it turned out to be just this really incredible creative puzzle to solve. And I remember our first assignment was just to write a melody. We didn't have to harmonize it, didn't have to necessarily be good. It was just kind of getting our feet wet into just making something happen. And then it was, okay, now take this melody you've written, and if you want to write more, you can, but now let's work on harmonizing and starting to kind of make sense of this melody you've written. Okay, now write a second theme. You know, okay, now bridge these two things together. And it was this really fun process where I, even to this day, you know, I always kind of half joke that my hands know more music than I do. And especially sitting at the piano and kind of letting my hands wander across the keys and feeling things out and moving things around was fun because, you know, there is technically nothing written yet. It's all blank canvas and free form space to make things happen. And after kind of writing this kind of short piano piece, You know, when you put a double bar at the end, it was that moment where I realized, wow, like I am kind of more or less using the same 12 notes that have been around since Bach and Beethoven and, you know, the canon of composers that we know and love. And I'm sitting here at the time, it would have been 2011, and I'm still finding something new to say. As small as it was, it still was this moment of, hey, like there's something new in the universe that I was able to make. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's exciting. So it was love at first sight, kind of at each step for each of your instruments and composing. But with composing, they kind of snuck it in on you.
Yeah, you know, what started as a requirement definitely turned into more of a want and a love for the kind of chasing after new puzzles. And it's almost like being given just kind of a sheet of even cardboard or kind of puzzle material, and you get to kind of cut out the shapes. But then you have to also make sure that the pieces that you cut out all somehow manage to fit together too.
Right. And at this point, does one of them pull at you more strongly than the rest?
I feel like it definitely ebbs and flows between the pianist and the composer side. Probably because that's where my studying is, bachelor's in piano performance, master's in composing. So they always, the two of those are always at odds. And even in my undergraduate, when I'd started kind of even doing some consistent composing, even though I was a piano performance major, there would be weeks where I would have a lot of practice in and I would be doing really well in my piano lesson that week, but then I didn't have a whole lot of music written for my composition class that week. And then there would be the weeks where I would be really in a zone for composing and getting a lot of that done. And then I would go to my piano lesson and those lessons were more review than I think my teacher would have liked. So there was definitely kind of the battle between the two. But it's still fun to be able to kind of, you know, there's always new rep and pieces to want to even read over and browse. And then there's also the list of pieces that I would like to compose and projects to undertake. So there's always the kind of the tug of war between those two.
It continues to this day. Yeah. You know, I've known a number of pianists who became composers, and even just pianists who aren't composers. A lot of them describe what you're saying, that the hands know the music, that there's a direct circuit from hands to brain. Very interesting. Where did you go to school, Brennan?
I did my undergraduate studies at Pacific Union College, and I did my master's at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music.
So your dad is a painter, and he ran a school, and you did our fabulous designs for a number of years, including the gorgeous graphic for this podcast. Did you have trouble choosing between art and music when you were growing up, or was it pretty straightforward, the music siren's call?
Oh, the music siren was definitely in the ear for this. My dad was an art major in college, much to his parents' chagrin. But yeah, art has always kind of been in the house. And my mom does kind of recreational painting as a hobby. So there's always been, at the very least, kind of an appreciation for art and the process of making things. It was fun having my dad be kind of the more talented and aware artist to help me with creating really creative science projects and school project displays and presentations. Including at one point making kind of a giant half grasshopper out of paper mache for, I think it was biology class.
Sounds like.
So, but that was a lot of fun to have a very artistic parent be able to help me kind of even generate creative ideas and help execute those. And yeah, this podcast artwork was really fun designing and wanting to, you know, definitely did some homework, kind of looking at other podcast artwork and wanting to kind of synthesize what we were hoping to do with this kind of almost like parchment paper color background, you know, where we love our living composers who are writing, you know, fresh music. So are very happy to celebrate a very diverse range of artists and composers. So this kind of fun, colorful, kind of wet splatter across the staff is a fun tribute to the work that's being done and the new music that's out there, and hopefully everyone else out there is enjoying it too.
I think so. It's a great design and a true metaphor for fresh ink as far as that goes. When you've done our other season designs, have you done research or do those just come to you?
Sometimes there's a little research and, I am a little privy to what the season holds in store. So sometimes it's fun to take all things into consideration. And I do try and be as intentional as possible with designs and composing.
Yeah, well, you've done a great job. Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's look now at your compositional process, although I have a hunch I know what you're going to say based on your earlier answer. How does being a pianist influence or affect your composing? Any thoughts about composing at the piano or not?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic about, especially the composing at the piano or not. I think, again, being one who was a kind of a pianist first, it's almost instinctual for me to want to sit at the piano and want to let my almost, I have to let my brain and my hands have a conversation at the keys, because I can have an idea buzzing around of maybe a melody or some rhythm or harmony, but then sometimes the hands will surprise me and do some fun things. And I remember, especially at the conservatory, wanting to take some, I would always on my phone kind of turn on an audio recording while I was just even doodling around, because there's always that moment where you start to kind of, you fall into some really cool rabbit hole of musical bumblings. And then when it's over, you go, oh shoot, what did I just do? And then, it's lost to the ether and it's buzzing around in the brain somewhere, and it will hopefully, come back out and resurface. But I am definitely a fan of composing at the piano. I think more of my kind of, like I kind of said earlier, I think with any research that I do in terms or like text processing for some of my vocal works, I definitely do that away from the piano.
Mm-hmm.
But having had a little bit of training as a vocalist, I think definitely helps with understanding, how some of the mechanics of breathing and register changes, how vocalists have to unfortunately breathe.
yeah, we do.
in singing things as long a lovely melody as you would like to have them sing, or how much support is needed if they're going into various registers. So it's definitely been a real blessing for me to have an experience as a pianist and singer, for my vocal words particularly. But even some of my solo piano, my handful of solo piano works, I've always really enjoyed trying to even make melodies that relate to the title of the piece. And most of my piano music has, I think, fairly thematic titles, and it helps me to even kind of focus in on what the purpose of either that movement or that piece is supposed to be about. And not letting the canvas get too wide and to allow me to kind of rein in my imagination into a specific direction. For those pieces. Especially pieces with text. I definitely do a lot of digging and kind of handwriting out the text, the poem, whatever it is, to make sure that I'm really just kind of ingraining these words. I do a lot of, especially if there's multiple texts being used, I like to see if there are any through lines or related words or motives that the poet or the author is using, to also kind of start to get those thoughts marinate for what that means musically and how I can relate maybe some of these common or similar words, phrases, ideas to just kind of add to that kind of musical unity.
Thank you for listening to For Good Measure. And a special thank you to our guest, Brennan Stokes, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast by clicking on the subscribe button and support us by sharing it with your friends, posting about it on social media, and leaving us a rating and a review. To learn more about E4TT, our concert season online and in the Bay Area, or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit us at www.e4tt.org. This podcast is made possible in part by a grant from the California Arts Council and generous donors like you. For Good Measure is produced by Nanette McGinnis and Ensemble for These Times and designed by Brennan Stokes, with special thanks to co-producer and audio engineer Stephanie M. Newman. Remember to keep supporting equity in the arts and tune in next week for Good Measure.